Welcome to another episode of our Founders Podcast. I'm your host, Ash, and this is a show where I interview proven founders and industry experts who share their stories, strategies, and insights to help you build, launch, and grow your business. In this episode, I talk to Charlie, the founder of Wizards.lat. Charlie Amoruso, a dynamic leader with a passion for learning and a wealth of experience spanning over two decades. He is the mastermind behind Wizards.lat, a groundbreaking venture that revolutionized the job market. Charlie's on a mission to unleash the untapped potential of Latin American talent onto the global stage. He's not just matching people with jobs, he's changing the lives and transforming the way we think about work. From support reps to top-notch customer experience experts, Charlie's team at Wizards.lat is shaking up the job market and making waves in the business world. So I hope you like the show. Charlie, welcome to the show.
Hey, Ash. Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
Great. Thank you. Thanks. I'm good. Good. So do you have a favorite quote, something that inspires or motivates you that you would like to share with our audience?
Yeah, of course. Maybe it's not a quote, but it's something I believe and I preach a lot, which is basically building people first companies. And I'm a true believer that the company that nurtures its people, its employees, and make them happy, that will lead into happy customers, which will lead into a happier organization, which will make employees even happier and customers even happier, a virtuous circle, as I like to call it. That's what I try to preach and advocate.
Yeah, definitely. Team is the primary building block of your business. You know, the better the team players you have in your team, it's the better your business flourishes, the better the customer satisfaction, and everything is just like, just, you know, multiplies by itself if you have good players in the team, isn't it? Great. So tell us about Wizards.lat. What does the product do? Who is it for? And what's the main problem you're helping to solve? And also, I would like to know, why did you use this .lat domain? I want to know the story behind it.
Sure. So starting from there, we are Wizards.lat because we focus on Latin American talent. Mm-hmm. We wanted to, with the .lat domain, give this essence of Latin American company. We are from Latin America to the world. Mm-hmm. So that's why we emphasize on the .lat domain. We wanted to give a little difference from .com or any other, so that people, when sees Wizards.lat, they can refer to Latin America. Mm-hmm. Then Wizards.lat, basically, we are a new way of matching and connecting with Latin American talent. There mm-hmm. are a bunch of agencies and recruiting agencies all over the world, a lot doing the same here in Latin America. Mm-hmm. But we started with two kind of verticals. Our main focus on what we started trying to solve was startups having needing to implement, to enhance, to create processes on their existing support platforms. Mm. And we know that having a consultant company or agency doing that work, or even freelancers in USA, are high cost and requires a big budget sometimes. And when we start working with the startups, early startups that get their first funds, we saw that there was a need for them to start developing their support platforms and also creating their support teams and all the customer experience around. Mm. So we saw that there was, and there is, a lot of talent in Latin America that knows these platforms, and we specialize in the world-known ones. Mm-hmm. And we are on the same time zone, basically, as North America. We have very talented people with fluent English, so communication is not an issue. Mm-hmm. And And also it's a win-win experience because Latin American people and that get jobs here in the region might be underpaid or not what they could expect with their expertise. So we know that aiming to startups or other kind of organizations in North America or even Europe or worldwide gives more opportunities for them to get a more salary and be more comfortable and be able to achieve more things.
Yeah, more suitable compensation for them as per the capabilities and expertise they bring on the table. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. And basically, what we are trying to solve is that, like, I suffer it as working in startups, mm-hmm. where the startup started to evolve, to grow, to escalate, and our support platform didn't follow that need. New processes mm-hmm. were needed, new support reps were onboarded, and we needed to maintain the platform heavily and create new processes. And we usually had to or have someone in the team dedicating to that task, putting aside their main task, which was to do support or to work on other things. And it was really difficult for us to get help with that outside. We were mm-hmm. always looking into agencies or, as I said, working for North American startups. We're looking for freelancers in the region. And it was really difficult. There was never a budget for it. So we mm-hmm. had to find a way internally. So what we are trying to solve is that basically to give experts that can work on a project base, that can work by the hour and solve your problems on a very affordable way and very committed and passionate about the work they do.
Indeed. And recruitment has been one of the biggest challenges for startups anyways, since from decades. Like, you know, I remember the days when there wasn't any LinkedIn. Everything was online via emails or their websites, etc. Mm-hmm. And then LinkedIn came, and then it became a little bit easier for recruiters. Potentially now it's getting more crowded again. Lots of, you know, spammers there. So tell us, talk about where the story began. Where did the idea for Wizard.let came from? What were you doing that time when you got the idea?
Well, I was working for a crypto company. We had a consultant helping us on our platform, and there was a big round of layoff in the company, and everyone in Argentina was laid off. So that's where I said, "Hey, there is a need here. We can work, or there are a lot of companies needing this kind of service." Plus, mm-hmm. also, as we, myself and my co-founders, are CX experts with a lot of years in big companies, mm-hmm. Which we have built, grown, recruited high performing teams, we said, "Hey, there is an opportunity here. We know the talent here in the region. We know they can do it. We are available on a similar time zone. We have, in some way, a very similar culture that we can adapt. Latin American experts and talent are really passionate and committed on their work. So I think there is a niche here that could be solved." We saw that there were a lot of agencies looking for this kind of experts on different support platforms, but none of them were focusing on Latin America. We have Upwork, we have Fiverr, and other agencies, but they are like not that personalized and customized the way you interact with them. Mm-hmm. We are not a platform. We are a service. We get the request from the customer, and from there we start working with them and finding the best solution for them. So with this, when being laid off, I started talking with this consultant we were using at that company, and he came up with the idea and said, hey, now that you have time, why don't you start doing this? I can help you. We can try to grow this thing. So this person was a big, like when you ignited all this and said, okay, let's, unfortunately, he wasn't able to pursue this with us, but he planted the seed for us to start. And basically it was because all of our experience, how difficult was this keeping our platforms updated and on track with the company's needs. All the underpaid talent in the region due to local jobs. And with the pandemic and all the remote being like a normal thing, we said, okay, we have now there is a new market for sourcing candidates for companies everywhere. And based with my age as well and my moment of life, I said, okay, let's go ahead and let's give it a try.
Thank you. Great. Great story. So what I've heard is you always had this in your mind to help people because you were building high performance teams in different organizations for different people. You always thought that in your mind one day we will do it, and then somebody came up and there was right time because there was lots of economic ups and down going on in the region, and this person became a catalyst for you to trigger this emotion, and then that's where the results.let idea came from. So tell us more about, so you mentioned that there are platforms like Upwork, Fiverr, where people can hire freelancers. There are platforms where people can hire employees, not freelancer as such. You mentioned that Wizard.let is a service, right? And yeah. When I hear the term service, I always think that, okay, so for example, let's say I need a couple of programmers on to work on my startup. I will go on Upwork, I will type, okay, C++ programmers or .NET programmers, and then I'll see, okay, this is my project details, and this is how much they are going to charge me with their bits and etc. And then I hire them. Whereas for service, I'm guessing it's sort of like a subscription for monthly basis. So how does the whole revenue model works out, and yeah, what's the process?
Yeah, exactly. So we are not subscription based. We have this idea to see how it could work, but basically what we do is we gather all the requirements, we understand what the customer needs, if it is for a specific platform, a specific need, the type of work they will need, we give a quote on the hourly base. This is basically for freelancers, and for project-based services. For recruiting, normal recruiting of CX, customer success, support reps, we charge a recruiting fee from the total amount or the annual salary of the candidate. We say it's a service because we try to remove all this burden from the customer. Like you said, you go to Upwork, Fiverr, you get the applications of the freelancers, but you need to go over it, you need to review, interview, and that takes a lot of time. What we try is to remove that, to leave our customers concentrate on their focus on building their company, on getting their company running, and we get that on our side. It's like having outsourced HR talent acquisition team, but not internally. The way we work in that sense, and that's why we say it's a service, and we would like to call in some way like recruiting as a service. We would like to create community and create, and we have in the pipeline to create a platform to be able to get all the people that are looking for these kind of jobs, build a community, and be able to vet them previously of having any requests from our customers. Nowadays, we source from many different ways, from contacts. We source from our own network. We try to get, and what we promote a lot is the referring of candidates from our existing contacts, from people that we have worked with. We hunt people and source people from LinkedIn directly. We do publish the any job opening, but we try to find directly from like go and look for the candidates from us, not waiting for them to apply. That requires, yes, a lot of work. We have some freelancers helping us doing this first initial search, but then all the process of helping. We have customers that don't know what they need. Like, they know they need a support rep, but they're not really sure if it needs what kind of skills they need. So with our experience, with our past experiences, we try to help them build the job description, build the position as they would need it, and from there start sourcing. We do all the normal process. We do assessments. We only introduce to our customers and refer. We call it referring candidates to our customers. The ones where we know that we would hire if we were in the position of our customers. That's the way. We only present 5, top 6 candidates per opening, and we are like having, at least so far right now, we have 100% of good presentation of candidates and hiring from customers. So it's a whole customized and personalized service. We know that this is not scalable, so we are working in a way to start preparing people to work with us and to feel and to understand the way we work, the three founders, and how we partner with our customers, right? We want to call them partners rather than customers. This might be a bit cheesy, but it's how we feel it, right? Although we know they paid for the bill at the end, but we are partners. We want the best for them, because we want them to come back and to refer to us, to other colleagues.
Got it. So if a startup is looking for some full-time talented support customer success executives, primarily in similar kind of time zone, because I guess sometimes customer support is more, required during the working time zones of the country. How do you manage that kind of requirement? Because I'm guessing if you're focusing on just Latin American talent and you have a customer from, Italy, there's I think 6 hours or four and a half, 5 hours of difference. So how do you manage that? And do you have that kind of contracts with your freelancers or the people you hire on a full-time basis for the project to work in that time zone? Also, how does the platform work for these executives? For example, if I'm a startup, I would like my customer executives to work on my platform so that they can support my customers. Whereas, Does that mean that the same customer support executive is working across two clients so they can use two different platforms, or there is a one platform which you build which integrate with all of them? How does that work?
No, every candidate we present and gets hired, it's dedicated, right? They want in two different places. The time zone, what the we have, it's an ample, let's say, pool of people that are willing to work on different time zones. Working for a Europe time zone, they can manage, and then we try, and we have in our database which are the people that we already interviewed and vetted that are willing or would like to work on different time zones. That makes, in some case, a different ratio, a different fee for what we pay to the freelancers. When it comes to full-time employees or contractors, we just do the recruiting service, right? Then the company, our customer, gets an agreement with the person we present, and they work directly, so it becomes an employee of our partner. For the freelancers, yes, we do everything. We do the payroll. We support them, but the customer is always in charge of doing the onboarding or doing the giving them the access to their support platforms and everything. On our side, as I said, there is no platform yet. The idea is to have something that any customer could log in and see what's available in the market right now, and be able for them to connect directly. That will not decrease the level of service we have. We will ensure that people that they will see or will find are completely vetted, and as I said, are candidates that we would hire if we needed to. So that's something, the time zone and the way they finally work with our customers is something that's always like we decide with the customer what's the best way. So we try to make it easier for them. And if they want us to take care of the payroll and everything, we can do it. But in a few words, the recruiting service is a normal like presentation of candidates. If you want it, they do their own hiring process from our customers, and we charge for the fee. On the freelancers way, yeah, it's more we are providing freelancers that we take care of, and we pay for them, and we charge for the service.
Right. Okay. So you have two different models then. Number one is when a customer comes to you and say, oh, we want some customer support executives or any other executives, and we want to pay them by ourselves. We just want you to recruit for us. So you go out, charge them a fee, but you get them, like you interview 100 people and you get them 5 diamond nugget candidates, you present it to them, they hire them, and then they just onboard them into their own company as a freelancer or a contractor. The other model is when a customer comes to you and say, okay, Charlie, we want you to recruit somebody, you pay them the salary, but what we will do is we will give you a monthly sort of like a budget, and then you do whatever you want to do from that budget, but that's what we are going to pay you, and we will contract with you like 6 months. So in, for example, in that 6 months, if that first candidate even goes, then it's your responsibility to bring another one, replace that candidate, and then keep the work going on for them. Right. Okay. So that you have two different business models. Got it. So which one in your, so you mentioned that it's not scalable, so that needs to go to a next level where you guys, the primary founders of the service, could educate other people and then they can grow in the similar pace. Which revenue model works better for you? Why? And what is the next step you are going to do in order to scale it?
So right now, the recruiting service, it's the most revenue wise better for us. That's because we do all the process, we do all the interviews, we present, assess on the candidate, we do some tests depending on the skills needed. And then we present it and we follow or accompany in some way the candidate until they are like onboarded into their new employer. So it's we do our work and we get the fee paid for that. That's because we are having more work on that side. That's why I say it's more retrievable for us so far. The other model, I think it can be better because we could have people working on longer basis and always charging like for the hour they work or for a monthly basis or the way we agree with the customer. Mm-hmm. On that way, we have always, and it's kind of having a subscription with the customer with us. I think that at least is the way or the place we want to move more. We want to focus more and be the place for any early stage startup to a Series A or B or soon to IPO, the place to get experts on very specific platforms and not for everything, like very customer experience, customer support oriented with a lot of knowledge certified in this kind of platforms. I think that's where we can get the most and make the team or the company to the next level. Mm-hmm. That's how we want to scale this. This model, we believe it's easier to maintain in some way because we will and we have our pool of talent with the specific expertise on the platforms, and we already know them. We have interviewed them. We have them part of our community and standing by, like waiting. And since most of them are already freelancers, they might have other jobs, so they might be able for us to have spare hours to do the freelancing for our customers, right? And we could also, and we have spoken with the customers that need a kind of very soft maintenance of their platforms, like very smooth admin to give accesses to check or change some processes. Just keep everything running. If there is an issue, to contact them, and that's where we offer not a dedicated person, but someone that will be available for them to help. In some cases, this is not possible because there are nuances and things around the business that this person needs to know. So he has to be always available for them. In other cases, which are easier, we could rotate or have anyone available. But that it's something that we are trying to pursue, and that's where our efforts are most put right now. Getting these kind of deals, right?
Right. Okay, great. I would love to go forward and ask you about, you know, any customer case study which you would like to share with our audience. But before going into that, what I would like is I'm eager to learn more about the person, the people behind this venture. So can you talk to us about who are in your founder team, first of all? And then can you also take us back to your roots and share with our listeners about your upbringing, your childhood, and how did your early experiences shape your journey and eventually led you to become an entrepreneur?
Yeah, sure. So we are three founders. One of them, I met him during my Microsoft experience. Then we worked together in two more startups. The third, it's a friend of my other co-founder, which they worked for Nokia before they were acquired by Microsoft. They work together there. And we have myself and the other founder, we have supply chain roots. We used to work for heavy supply chain. I used to work for a leather company. Then in Microsoft, I worked for mobile devices on the after sales, repairing and spare parts of mobile phones. So we were very logistics and very supply chain oriented. But then we moved into my first startup, which was a SaaS startup for supply chain. And that's where we started seeing that startups was the place where someone can create more impact and have a better understanding of what was happening, to have a voice to be able to move things faster than in the previous organizations. So we have the three of us, we sum up more than 60 years of experience in supply chain, customer support, customer experience, both in very structured and old-fashioned companies and very early stage startups. So we have the right mix of experiences. And as I said, we have built a lot of teams, and we have grown teams and scaled teams. And we have even have people in our teams that were moved to other locations of the startups we were working. We were basically focusing on Latin American operations, but we had people from the team that were able to move to a global organization or expat to the USA or to London. So it was like we have experience on that side as well. And the thing that I think creates more sense for Wizards, a part of all this, was that we suffered what we tried to help our customers with. That's on our founding team. Like, we are experienced customer support, customer experience, and success professionals with a lot of years. Yeah. We are not recruiting experts. So we learn from our experiences of hiring people, of being hiring managers, and trying to build teams. So that's another maybe thing that leverages in a good way. Like, we are not experts in recruiting. We earned a lot of experience and we know how to do it, but with a lot of experience on the roles we look for. And in my working experience, let's say I started by when I was 20, more or less, I started working for a food manufacturer in Argentina, a family-run company. Then I moved into this leather company, which is a huge company. It's Argentinian, but it's worldwide known. But family-run, very, very structured, with the definitions and decisions made by the family. Was like very, very difficult to make a big impact or change things around. My experience was, at least the three of us and myself as well, we had a very easy in somehow childhood. We had coming from good families in some way, like middle class. We never had any issue of things not having things or not being able to. I was able to study, to go to the university, and had the support from my parents. But I think that all my experience and starting with these kind of companies that were very hard and very stressful and very very old fashioned, like managers being very blameful on the employees and with a lot of disrespect. But that, I think, creates some way and nurtures the personality of in this case myself, to say, okay, I don't want to be like this. I want to be this startup movement. It's really different to that, and I want to pursue here. I want to help people and everyone that is working in Argentina and have or in Latin America alone, have jobs that are not satisfying to them, to be able to live and breathe a startup vibe. Right? So I think that's what made me say, okay, I want to build something that helps our people achieve and get opportunities that they won't get it locally.
Indeed. And that is a very noble thing to do also, because let's say, for example, if the economy is struggling, like we have too much inflation right now in the UK, right? So lots going up and down. It's always helpful for people it's a beacon of light where they can go and, you know, there's lots of, like Amazon fired 21,000 people, right? That was crazy. And then Google fired around 11,000 and all these people. So it's always good when you're talking to people who are looking for jobs or work with an empathy, that you understand them, that you know that, you know, disrespecting them is not going to help you out anyways. And it's always a good idea to respect the team members before, because ultimately you want them to work for you, right? So it's exactly. It's really, really important. I'm enjoying this conversation, Charlie, but the problem is we are running out of time. So we should wrap up now. So let's we're gonna go into the lightning round, and I've got six quick fire questions for you, so just answer them as quickly as you can. You ready? Great. So number one, what's one of the best piece of business advice you have received or you want to give our listeners to?
Well, someone that I was talking about this project and what we were doing, he was giving me a lot of, okay, you should go this that way. And at the end, he said, forget what I said. Just do whatever you feel it's the best. All the rest are opinions. So that stuck in my mind, like, I'm trying to build something with my co-founders that it's wants to help other people. We want to help startups, and we want to help us grow as entrepreneurs. Everyone can have a lot of suggestions, biases, opinions, and we take what we feel it's the best.
Yeah, best for now and best for your organization. Great stuff.
Yeah.
What book would you recommend to our audience and why?
Well, one book that I read that probably most of your audience have read, it's Started With Why by Simon Sinek. And that's funny because all the purpose on why we do what we do and not focus on how we do it, it's something we tried to put on our website. We started with why we are doing this. And I think it's great. First, because how Simon explains it, and it's so motivational and inspiring, but so easy. It's a concept that most people think, but never realize. Most of them try to show what they do, how they do it, but not why, right? Why is the purpose? So
that's true.
That's a book that I think that everyone that wants to start something should read.
Great. What's one attribute or characteristic in your mind of a successful founder?
Well, basically learning from mistakes, iterating, and not like learning, really, not saying, okay, I did this bad and then do it again. Really learning from mistakes, being lighthearted, like taking someone or myself not that serious, but yeah, very committed and serious to the work I put. And last but not least, be persistent. Like if you fall, you need to get up and continue. Fall, get up and continue. It's that's, I guess, the way most companies succeed.
Indeed. What's your favorite personal productivity tool or habit?
Well, actually, it's my notebook, written one. I take notes of everything and then use Notion to put everything in one safe place. But I'm very, very analogical in that way. I need my pen and my paper.
Notebook, yeah. Totally agree. Great stuff. What's a new or a crazy business idea you would love to pursue if you had time?
Yeah, well, I would love to have a Star Wars collectible e-commerce. I'm a huge fan of Star Wars. And I also would love to have a small coffee shop, like one or two tables only, give a really nice coffee. And that's something to be on the offline and be close to people serving really nice coffee to get started in the
coffee shop. I've always thought to start a coffee coffee shop myself.
But a very, very small one. Just a takeaway and one or two tables. Not much.
not much. Great. And last but not least, what's an interesting or fun fact about you that most people don't know?
Well, being a huge Star Wars fan, that's one. And another thing that many people say, hey, you a bit crazy, I think, it's that I get relaxed listening to heavy metal.
Interesting. Which is your favorite bands?
It's Pantera.
Ah, okay. I used to hear heavy metal when I was a kid, but now I don't have that much energy left, I guess.
I love Guns N' Roses. That's why I have my t-shirt. So it's also a good band to get relaxed.
Yeah, great. Well, Charlie, thank you so much for joining me and sharing your story and packing the last years of building this business and some of the ups and downs. If people want to check out Wizard or get in touch with you personally, what's the best way to do it?
Well, my LinkedIn, for sure. You can find me by my name. Or to my email, charlie@wizards.lat. Mm-hmm. That's the easiest and fastest way to reach out to me. And of course, in our website, you have the contact details.
Awesome. Charlie, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your inspiring journey and the impactful work you're doing through Wizards. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on Founders Podcast.
Thank you very much, Ash. Have a nice day.
Thank you all for tuning into the episode of Founders Podcast. I hope you found our conversation with Charlie insightful and inspiring. If you are a founder or industry expert interested in sharing your story on our podcast, please don't hesitate to reach out. Simply email me at ash@artcircles.com and let's connect for a potential interview opportunity. If you have enjoyed this episode, don't forget to check out wizards.lat. Make sure you contact Charlie on his email at charlie@wizards.lat, or you can contact him on LinkedIn also by searching Charlie Amoruso. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast and stay updated on future interviews with proven founders and industry experts. We have a lineup of incredible guests and valuable insights coming your way. Stay inspired, stay motivated, and keep building.